Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I was thinking to myself, what do I want to preach on? And, you know, there's so many things that were going through my head. So many things that I was thinking. I was really thinking, one of the cool things I had going through my head was a musical review. See, you laugh a little bit, but I thought it would be really cool if, like, if I took you guys through, like, Peter's life. Right? The Apostle Peter. Right? And that guy, he did so many awesome things, so many crazy things, and we were going to start out, you know, at the cross, you know, where you know, he faced that time where he denied the Lord, and then we were going to take him through, and I had songs picked out, you know, and it was going to be really cool, really cool. And like when we were sitting there, we were going to take him to Joppa, huh? Crazy, right? Sitting there up on the roof, right? Up there at Dorcas's house, right? Right? If you're nice, you call her Tabitha, but the point is that he was sitting up there, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's from the big city, Jerusalem, and he's sitting there in Joppa, and, you know, I was thinking more of like a Greece thing, you know, and he'd be up there hanging out with a bunch of guys, and they'd be like, you should have seen it right there. I was up there on top of the roof, and all of a sudden, the sheet came down, you know, and this is where it gets really crazy, okay? Because I was going to actually have Jim Jarrett and a couple other guys jump up and go, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, and... But the grace of God is so awesome because the more I thought about it, that was the dumbest idea I've ever had. I've done some dumb things, but... Whew! You gotta admit that would have been cool though. See Jim Jarrett jump up. I could have called him earlier, had him grease back his hair, leather jacket, you know. Oh man. But God is way smarter than I am. And he told me to preach out of Isaiah this morning, which is nowhere near Peter's life. So let's go ahead and turn there this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. I promise at no point, Dave, will I go back to Danny's voice. I know. I was thinking about this. The title of today's sermon is Prepare for Comfort. And I was thinking, man, there's a lot of trials and a lot of things that are coming up in the world. We're all going to need a lot of comfort after November. We're going to need, to be honest, I mean, I'm already sick of every presidential debate that's happened up to this point. I hate election years because you can't turn on anything other than ESPN, which is what I watch anyways, but my wife watches all those other things. And on ESPN, you don't see the presidential ad commercials, but on every other station you do. I get so sick of watching this, and then you turn on any kind of news station or you listen to anything on the radio and you hear about you know, this debate or that debate, and I can't keep track. I don't understand it. It drives me nuts, and I just get tired. I get tired. I get worn down thinking about this stuff. And one thing I realize is that you have to kind of prepare yourself sometimes to receive the bad news so that you can be comforted afterwards. Much like our current political situation. If you guys saw what happened this week in the state of Washington itself. Horrible. I'm not going to really touch it other than just to say horrible. If you don't know, It's probably best that you had your head buried under your pillows, coughing and, you know, just sick or whatever. But horrible political decisions surrounding us. And you know what? The more I thought about it, this is a pretty good scripture for us. Because what this is, if you don't know the prophet Isaiah, he's an 8th century prophet. Started his prophetorial career in about 740 BC. Okay? So, the 740 BC, things are not smooth at all. But they're not horrible. But what he says is, all right, guess what, guys? We're going to get taken captive. It's not going to be pretty. Our whole country, everything that we believe in, everything that we know is going to be taken away from us. Some of us will be led into slavery. Some of us will be killed. Some of us will not ever be able to see this land that we love again. And there were people there that said, this guy's got to be kidding us. This guy has no idea what he's talking about. This guy is so far out. And you know what? Nobody really ever trusts a prophet when he says bad things are going to happen, do they? Nobody ever wants to hear that. Now, a prophet comes into the church and says, Sandra, you get $1 million. That's the prophet we want to hear from. That's the prophet that, yeah, we'll be amening all day long and waving hankies and getting all Pentecostal in here. But when the prophet comes along and says, you're all going to be taken into slavery. Ah, that's terrible, Lord. Where's the other guy? And we don't want to hear that guy. Okay? But he was that guy. He was the guy that told them that they were going to be taken into slavery. But the best thing about Isaiah is that he's also the guy that prophesied that they would be rescued from slavery. He's also the guy in the latter part of his book that said that there would be a savior to come. So it wasn't all doom and gloom, but nobody wants to hear that first part, do they? Nobody wants to hear that times are going to get tough. Well, if you were listening to the word of the Lord this morning, you heard that times are going to get tough. If you heard the word of the Lord this morning, you heard that things are not going to get better. Oh man, I came to church to get lifted up this morning. This is supposed to be a happy place. I know. My wife it drives her nuts because I am such a glass half empty kind of guy. Even when it's full, I know it's going to get half empty. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, even when it's full, she's like, it's going to be bad eventually, you know? And that's why when she makes food, I have to eat it all. Think about this. This is good logic because I grew up poor. We didn't know when we were going to eat again. And so I ate every morsel in front of me. And so now that I'm an adult and I can buy my own food, I still eat every little giblet that she makes because, you know, in my mindset, I don't know when I'm going to eat again. And, you know, for a fat kid, that's not a good thought, you know. I don't know when I'm going to eat again, and so I eat everything in front of me. But Isaiah says in around the 740s BC that Israel's going to fall. Well, guess what? 722, it does. The sins of the nation caught up with it, and the Assyrians came and took the entire northern kingdom. Now, that's not great news. They took them away into captivity, killed many, left some, but that wasn't it. 130 years later, Judah was conquered. The prize of the nation, Jerusalem run through, their heart, their soul, everything spiritual about this nation was centered in Jerusalem. They took their church. They took their people. They took everything that they believed in 586 BC. Babylon stole it all. And this was foretold 150 years prior by the prophet Isaiah. Nobody wants to hear that guy. In chapter 40 of Isaiah, here comes the hope. Here comes the comfort. Here comes the reason why the hurting people come to church on Sundays. Here comes the reason why we walked in this morning saying, Lord, I just want some of you. Because he says that I have come and I'm going to make things right again. He says in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know what's awesome is that he did prophesy restoration to his people. He did prophesy. The Lord did not take everything away only to keep it away. That's what's awesome about God is that he wants us to return to him. He wanted his people to return to Jerusalem. You know what? I'll bet you that it took 120 years to be able to clean out all the junk that they had put in there. That was semi-spiritual right there, Sandra. That was pretty decent, actually. It took that long for the sins of the fathers to wear away. It took that long for this place to be spiritually ready to receive from the Lord again. You see, when they came back, they came back and they built a temple. The first thing that they did is they consecrated the place once again. The first thing they did is they brought back the building where they would worship their God in. They didn't rebuild the houses yet. They put up the temple. They didn't rebuild the walls yet. That came 50 years later. They built the temple. Why? Because the Lord said, if I'm bringing you back here to your blessing, if I'm bringing you back here to this land that I've given you, you need to make it right and you need to start right again. You see, all the things that had been taken away were taken away for the good of the nation of Israel. They weren't a nation for 150 years. They were a people in exile. I've been in exile before. I felt like I couldn't hear, I couldn't feel, I couldn't see God. When I prayed, I didn't know if he could hear me. I've been there before. I still trusted him. I still believed in him. I still knew who he was. But I couldn't break through that wall. You know what I'm saying? I was in that exile. I was in that bondage right there. And I knew that no matter what I had going, that God wasn't going to hear me. But you know what Isaiah says is that you have to prepare the way of comfort. He says that you have to prepare this place so that the Spirit of the Lord can move through. He said to make straight these things. He said to make ready for these things because the Lord is going to come. The Lord is going to bring deliverance, but the road has to be ready for him to come through. You have to be ready to receive the comfort that God wants for you. When you get down to your lowest, that's when you're ready to receive, right? When you're sliding down that tube, you're not ready to receive. You're not ready to hear that everything in your life needs to be broken up so that you could be able to be planted again. At the top of the slide, you're kind of enjoying it. But by the time you hit the bottom of the slide and you crash to that ground, dust, and you know you're ready because there ain't nothing left. The awesome part that I see in this is that there is someone crying in the wilderness. The Lord always provides a voice. When he brings salvation, he provides a voice. You see, when you're at your lowest, there's always someone there to be able to tell you that you just get ready. Just get ready. Just get ready. The Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to touch you. You might not hear that person, you might not feel that person, but you know that there was someone there that said, get ready because the Lord's going to heal you. Get ready because God's not done with you yet. There was a voice crying out in the wilderness. And that voice said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That voice said, make ready. Get out your bulldozers. Get out your backhoes. Call the concrete company. Get everybody ready. We're going to make a road. It's going to be a straight road. It's going to be a smooth road. We're going to tear down the mountains. We're going to fill up the valleys. All those turns that you've had, we're going to make them straight. Why? Because the Lord wants to make an express way to your heart. Somewhere between Spencer Davis and the Blues Brothers, there is spiritual wisdom in that song. That actually just came to me. That is fresh inspiration for you this morning. The Lord wants to build an expressway to your hearts. We had it on the computer. But you see that the Lord wants to make that highway. He wants to make it straight and easy for him to pierce through all the things. You see, that highway is there not so that he can get there quicker, but so that the roadblocks are taken out. How long does it take for us to get the roadblocks out of our hearts? You know, how long does it take for us to make ready the way for the Lord to come straight through? He wants to see all those valleys leveled up. He doesn't want us to see us go through those valleys, but sometimes we have to. Climbing a mountain, I did that once. I am so glad the Lord says that we need to level them out. The crooked roads made straight. How many times have we been down that road thinking that we're going the right way and taking the wrong turn? I mean, this is all pretty easy stuff for us to understand, right? This is all pretty easy stuff for us to understand. Thank you. Who was that? You? Was that Sandra? I don't know. Which one of you guys said it was hard? It's hard to do. It is hard to do. The hardest thing that we have in our life sometimes is to actually prepare ourselves to receive comfort from the Lord. To actually say that I'm worthy of comfort. To actually say that He loves me enough to love me through those times of my life where I turn my back on Him. To actually say that He loves me no matter where and what I've done. To make way the place of comfort. We have to prepare ourselves knowing how much He loves us. He loved this nation of Israel. This nation has turned their back on Him so many times. Kings have actually set up idols right in the temple. I mean, they have done everything that they possibly could to turn their backs on their Lord. And yet He loves them. Now, I haven't put up any temple or any idols in my house. Maybe the Xbox. The big screen? That was Josiah's fault. Josiah, I got to tell you, Josiah called me up here not too long ago and said, Billy, he sent me a text message and said, my father-in-law bought me a nice TV. And he already had a nice TV. So I was just joking when I was like, well, you know, if you feel the need to re-bless someone from the blessing you just got, I'll take your old TV. He called me up and he says, well, are you going to come and get it? I mean, you know, I'm not... So I hop in my truck and I grab Ben because I need just like this, I need a strong young man to help me load this thing. And as it turns out, they loaded and I just kind of made sure the wheels were straight because, you know, you can't load it all crooked. And so what we did is we drove down there, we loaded it up. And we got it to my house and we got it in there. And you know, I'm a guy kind of. And I sat there. And I was like, you know, 55 inches of awesome. And my wife looked at it and she goes, I don't like it. And she didn't really understand the guy thing going on right here. That's like getting a fast car and saying it's too fast. It's not too fast. It's just right. The roads just aren't straight enough, you know, and that's how a guy thinks. And so, considering how a guy thinks, I took apart the entertainment center. And I said, we're moving the whole thing out. And I put this TV right there, and I said, now look at it. And she goes, I don't like it. It makes my eyes hurt. And I said, it makes my eyes hurt, too, from the awesome that is there. And so I didn't know this, but my boys are spiritual. My boys are a spiritual lot, because the whole time that their mom and I are having this discussion, they're in the back praying, oh, dear Jesus. I don't know if that's how Jake was praying, but I know Drew was like this. No, 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 no. And their prayer was that mom would hate it so that it goes to our video game room. Yeah. So a couple nights later, I take and I move all the furniture again, and I put it in the corner, and I said, this is where we're going to put it. This looks awesome. This is going to be beautiful. And Drew's like this. Yeah, man, that hurts my eyes. Oh, Dad, turn it off. Turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. And Andrea is like, yeah, it totally hurts. And so I was like, all right, fine, I'll put it in the video game room. And the boys are in the kitchen high-fiving, you know, slapping each other, just going nuts. And I don't realize this until I get it moved out there and we hook up the Xbox 360 and we're playing a little Call of Duty, and Captain Price is actually life-size. And then I realized exactly what my boys were doing. They were sabotaging me so that we could play video games in a lot better way, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that, because it's like having a fast car that your wife won't let you drive fast. There's kind of no point to it, right? You know, I can only go down West Wapato so fast before it just becomes redundant. You can only watch The Voice on a 55-inch TV so many times before it becomes a little redundant. But it never gets old playing Call of Duty or NC2A football on a life-size TV. Thus says the Lord. Oh, that's right. We were talking about roads that take turns. That was all that story was intentional, to show you guys how even the best intention of the word this morning can be taken off the trail a little bit. Or at least I'm going to make it sound like it was. You see, the Lord says we're going to make all these roads straight, because you know what? The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. You see, he didn't long for anything else other than to be put back into his place there in Jerusalem. That is his place. That is his anointing. That is where he wants his people to be. But they were not receiving him. They were not able to hear him. They were not able to feel him from the things that they had put into place there. And so he says, we're going to tear it all down and we're going to start again. He sends Zerubbabel back. That's an awesome name. Zerubbabel. I wouldn't name my kid that unless we really didn't like him. Zerubbabel. But Zerubbabel came back. And as soon as they got there, they started work on the temple. You see, after being gone from their homeland for so long, after being in bondage for so long, after being hurt and in captivity for so long, they realized the first thing that needs to happen is they need to restore their spiritual health. They need to restore their spiritual strength. Guys, when you came in here this morning, you might have been hurting. You might have been feeling run down. You might have been feeling like the Lord can't hear you. You might have been feeling like, God, I need a little bit of grace for what's coming our way. Guess what? That's how I feel right now. I feel like, God, I know that things are going to be happening and things are going to be crazy. God, I need your comfort this morning. But the Lord says you need to make yourself ready to receive my comfort. You need to make the road straight. You need to level out all those things where you go up and down and up and down, and you need to learn to receive my comfort. If you're hurting this morning, you need to learn to receive the Lord's comfort. We had an invitation this morning. Were you hurting and didn't take part in this? Lesson number one. When the Lord says, come, come. When the Lord says, I'm here to give you comfort and grace and strength, come and receive. You don't need it today, get it for tomorrow. I was feeling great, but I went down and raised my hands and I praised God at the altar because I just knew at some point I'm going to do something stupid. Maybe it's called pre-grace grace. But the point is that I knew that I could always use more. You need to prepare your heart to receive comfort. Have you ever needed comfort, asked for it, and didn't receive it? Because you didn't knock down any of the walls? Because you didn't tear down any of the idols? It took time for the people of Jerusalem to learn how to receive comfort. But when they got there, they built a temple. Ezra bought the people back. And Nehemiah built some walls. And that place was greater for a time than it ever had been before. Why? Because they were ready to receive comfort. My word today is that we shouldn't have to take 150 years in slavery to the Assyrians or the Babylonians. We don't need to. We don't need to. We have the offer of comfort and grace right here. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died so that we could receive comfort. He died so that we could be healed. He died so that we could have peace. He died so that we could love Him. This morning, my prayer and my word is to make ready. Prepare the road. Get out your bulldozers. Not everybody's going to do it, but those who do are going to receive such an amazing flow of grace into their life. The second part of the word that we heard this morning is that you need to be ready to be able to share the love of Jesus with someone. Be ready. But you can't be ready if you're still locked up inside. If you're still in captivity. And so make ready. Make the road straight. Level out the mountains. Fill up the valleys. Straighten out those roads. Make ready because the glory of the Lord is coming. That is the promise, isn't it? The glory of the Lord is coming. I can't wait for Him to put His glory into this nation, into this church, into my heart. I can't wait for that. Things are going to stink. Things are going to be just, you know, we could have that glass half full, empty mentality. But the thing is that the Lord's glory is coming. He is coming. So let's make ready for Him to be here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. I know you did. So I was trying to say something towards that. We had a discussion as to what time we were going to be done this morning, and I felt 12:28 was right on the dot. You know, I'm not always a perfect example of the word that we spoke this morning, but sometimes the word speaks to the pastor just as much as it speaks to everybody. I have a hard time sometimes letting go of hurt. I have a hard time sometimes letting go of just that feeling. But we have to remind ourselves and we have to listen to the Lord that his day is coming. And we have to make these roads straight so that we can receive the glory of the Lord. So that we can see the glory of the Lord. Because guess what, guys? I know that when he comes, when he shows up here and the glory of the Lord, it just overwhelms us. I don't want to be the guy that says, yeah, but for how long? I want to be the guy that says, let's do this. I want everything that God has for me. And so we begin now to prepare the way for the Lord. And I'm excited about what God's doing. God is doing so many awesome things in our church. He really is. And so I want to be there. I want to be ready for the next thing that he does. Amen? So make ready the road. Because he's coming. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Prepare us to receive from the glory that you have coming, Lord God. For those of us who are living in bondage, in pain, God, I pray that we would release that to you this morning. I pray that we would release that to you this morning, God, so that we can be free from these things, Jesus. Because, Lord, we hunger for you. We desire you, God. And I pray that we would be ready to receive your glory, your power, and the grace that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.